a recap and update on the day's biggest local stories, along with impactful features and reports from this legendary Edward R. Murrow award-winning newsroom. This is Minnesota's Drive Time News on News Talk 830 WCCO. Here's Laura Oakes.
6:09 now on CCO. Smoke giving way to sadness envelop a quiet Hopkins neighborhood today after a house exploded, killing the elderly couple who lived there. WCCO's Susie Jones has more.
I heard the explosion. I felt the explosion. It was unlike a sound I had ever heard before.
Ken Prusik and his wife lived just a few houses down from where a house exploded and caught fire about 10 in the morning.
I just saw a cloud of debris, smoke, papers, whatever, just kind of flying in the air. So I assumed that it was an explosion.
Neighbors say an elderly couple lived in the home near the intersection of Highway 7 and Shady Oak Road. Linda and Alan Torres live nearby.
And the one lady next to the house that was blowing up, the deck is completely gone.
It's heart-wrenching. They built this house in 1958, and it's the original couple.
It took crews several hours to put out the blaze before they could begin searching for bodies. Longtime neighbors looking on, feeling overwhelmed at the suddenness of it.
It was very nice house, very well taken care of.
Yeah, yeah. You grew up in the neighborhood?
I grew up here.
Susie Jones, News Talk 830 WCCO.
And Hopkins Fire Chief Dale Speckin met with the media late this afternoon.
It's not something that we deal with on a daily basis, and for my 30-plus years in the fire service, I have never seen an explosion like this. So, it's a very tragic day for all of us.
The cause of the explosion is still under investigation. The couple has been identified by family members as lifelong Hopkins residents Sharon and Herb Vassar. All four former Minneapolis police officers charged in George Floyd's 2020 killing have now been sentenced in federal court. Former officer Tu Tao has received a sentence of 3.5 years in prison, while former officer J. Alexander King received a 3-year sentence. Last week, officer Thomas Lane was sentenced to 2.5 years, and Derek Chauvin pled guilty to violating Floyd's civil rights and was sentenced to 21 years earlier this month. Floyd's girlfriend, Courtney Ross, spoke after today's hearing, saying Tao's lack of remorse was disappointing.
And he has not made any attempt to feel anything that we're feeling, to reach out, even in the courtroom, to say something to the families. And his smug, not quiet like the judge said, but his smug, conceited demeanor, it's always seemed like he has a hatred for his own community and never was an officer of the law. He seemed like a criminal in that system.
Tao spent 20 minutes addressing the court before he was sentenced, where he talked about faith and sexuality. Former Officer King did not address the court, but his mother, Joni, spoke for the family.
Alex's family is so sad that we will not be able to get to see him for a while, but we will see him again. And it does not escape us that Mr. Floyd's family and friends will not.
Both King and Tao have been ordered to begin serving their prison time beginning October 4th, either in Duluth or in Yankton, South Dakota. The Minnesota State Patrol is investigating a deadly crash in Chanhassen early this afternoon. It happened shortly before 2 o'clock at Highway 5 and Market Boulevard. No other information is released. With a little over a month from the return of school, education leaders in Minnesota and throughout the country are worried about an impending teacher shortage that they say will be as worse as ever.
Over the last 2 years in the United States, 300,000 public school teachers and other staff have left the profession.
It's disheartening. It's scary.
That's Denise Specht, the president of Education Minnesota. And while it inspires those emotions, one it doesn't evoke is shock.
Unless we have found an army of new educators coming out of teacher prep programs, or unless we've found money to hire mental health support professionals, I just believe that we're going to have a continuation, unfortunately, of last year. And for me, that means that we're going to see more and more people leaving the profession than we did this past year.
That means bad things for the upcoming school year, Specht says, after 2021 was already the hardest year educators have ever experienced. Those same staffing shortages are showing no signs of finding solutions. And while COVID exacerbated the issue, Specht says all the reasons for the shortage have been there for years.
We've got a recruitment issue. You know, we've got to look at the pipeline and recruiting people into the profession. But we also have a retention issue. Once they get in the profession, how do we keep them there?
In practice, that means schools are forced to put unlicensed and inexperienced teachers in the classroom. And the issues are even worse in greater Minnesota, which has historically been a harder area to staff. Specht says Education Minnesota is continuing to push for more funding from the state to address working conditions like class sizes, pay, and mental health resources for both students and teachers. They're also trying to address that pipeline of talent. But she says all those things take time and won't help in the upcoming year, which risks current teachers leaving. Nationally, around 90% of teachers said burnout was a serious problem, and 80% have said that unfilled job openings put more of a burden on existing staff. And while Specht says polling shows a majority of Americans still support their public schools and teachers, a vocal minority of people have been enough to dissuade teachers from coming and staying in the industry.
There are certain aspects, whether it's culture wars or politics, that are suddenly now creeping into our schools, our boardrooms. And, you know, those are the things. I would say that that is a big driver out of the profession is the lack of autonomy and respect in the profession. You know, people are just saying no.
Paul Hodowanik, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Star. 6:15 now on CCO. Coming up, Vikings training camp is open for business, and a look at the day in business too. Stay with Minnesota's Drive Time News. Here's WCCO's Paul Douglas.
It would be premature to write off summer. Summer has plenty of oomph left, as you're about to see. This weekend and next week will definitely feel like primetime summer. In the meantime, a whiff of September in the air the next couple of days. Could be a pop-up instability shower later today. They will be widely scattered. Most of us will not get wet. Tomorrow, the coolest day, mid-70s in the metro, holding in the 60s up north with a few showers. Friday looks stunning. A beautiful lake-worthy weekend, sunshine both days, mid to upper 80s. Could be more widespread showers and storms late Sunday, Sunday night, and then a run of 90s next week, maybe near 100 by the middle of next week.
Right now it's mostly sunny, 81 at News Talk 830 WCCO.
The Minnesota Vikings had their first training camp practice today, and wide receiver Justin Jefferson spoke for the first time. Jefferson is eligible for a new contract next spring, but the star wideout says he's not concerned about that right now.
I'll focus on contract after the season. Our main thing is reaching to that goal, but I'm not really too fond of money. I'm really just trying to get that goal of being the best receiver.
The first public training camp for fans to come see Justin Jefferson and the Vikings is Saturday. And St. Louis Park High School has announced they will resume athletic competition with New Prague. This comes after they halted all competition last year after racist behavior was directed towards St. Louis Park boys hockey players. New Prague Superintendent Tim Ditburner says the school has held meetings with parents and students and created a task force to address equity issues.
Obviously, a negative situation we wanted to turn into a positive thing for our students, our school, and community. And, you know, we're on our way. I mean, we've got a long way to go, but, you know, we've been in contact with St. Louis Park throughout all this, and we feel good about the direction it's going.
And that's a look at sports. I'm Paul Hodowanik, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Okay, 6:22 now in CCO. Time for a look at the day in business with Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The Federal Reserve today making another aggressive hike in its benchmark lending rate, 0.75% for the second time in 2 months, as it looks to drive runaway inflation lower. Now, on Wall Street, they expected that rate hike. They also embraced the head of the Fed's assessment that the U.S. is not in a recession right now. And another similar rate hike is not off the table for its September meeting. With that, the Dow shot up 436 points. The tech-heavy NASDAQ up 470. That's a 4% spike today. The S&P added 103. Dismal after-the-bell earnings from Richfield-based Best Buy, which says inflation pummeled demand for electronics. Sales are forecast to plunge another 13% in the year ahead. Shares are tumbling in late trading. Meantime, McDonald's and Chipotle say inflation has changed how a lot of people eat. Those of making under 50 grand a year are dining out less frequently and ordering cheaper items off the menu. And Apple poaching a top executive at Lamborghini, the Italian sports car maker, to work in its self-driving electric engine auto unit. From Bloomberg, I'm Tom Busby on News Talk 830 WCCO.
623 now on WCCO. Ramsey County Sheriff Bob Fletcher says more investments need to be made in juvenile detention in Ramsey and Hennepin counties to actually help the high number of teens who are committing crimes. He told WCCO's Vanita Saukar today that those arrested range from 13 to 16 years old and that oftentimes there's nowhere for them to go but back into bad situations.
I can tell you that juvenile detention helps children. Many get their GED, they get off drugs, they get away from people that are negative in their environment. They might actually, in some cases, start job opportunities.
Fletcher says he sees the same 50 to 75 teens committing crimes on a regular basis, and many parents want their teens to get help. After another week with little to no rain, the dry conditions of Minnesota are getting worse, and it's now stretching into the metro area as the southern Twin Cities metro is now in a severe drought. Luigi Romolo is a climatologist with the DNR.
What we're seeing right now is in the metro area, just to the west of the metro area, over the last 60 days or so, we have about a 4 to 6 inch precipitation deficit. Normally, that's not too big of a deal, but because it's been so warm, you know, 2 to 5 degrees above normal over that same period, it really starts to dry out the ground.
We're expecting a new update from the U.S. Drought Monitor tomorrow. Last week's data showed that 28% of the state is now abnormally dry, up from 11% the prior week. Romolo says there's no sign of things getting better.
We're not seeing a whole lot of precipitation expected over the next few days, perhaps over the weekend, but it's difficult to say whether these conditions will get worse. Certainly, they're not going to get any better over the next few days.
The next best chance for rain is Saturday night in some parts of the state. Minneapolis's early vote center will be open the next two Saturdays for residents to cast their ballots in the August 9th primary election. I spoke with Elections Administration Supervisor Aaron Grossman about the popularity of early voting and how to do it.
I know early voting was a really nice bonus during the pandemic. So convenient for people when they didn't really want to be around others and they could not have to, you know, pile up on election day to cast their ballot. So do you think that people will still be interested in taking advantage of early voting? Have we kind of come around to the fact that now this is how we vote?
Definitely many people were introduced to early voting, either in-person early voting or even more through the vote by mail process throughout the pandemic. I think many will continue to vote that way. Just in the 2021 municipal election, we saw a lot of the early voting, the absentee voting that we saw in the 2020 election go back to election day voting. So I don't know if we've totally switched, but certainly we're continuing to see heightened levels of early voting, whether in person or through the mail process.
And what would you say to people who think this whole early voting process takes away from the importance of the actual election day?
Well, I'd say that all voters can choose to vote in the method that suits them best. So whether that's early voting in person, early voting by mail, or at their local polling place on election day. You know, we're very excited about giving voters all the opportunities that we're able to in order for them to cast their ballot and make their voice heard.
Minneapolis Elections Administration Supervisor Aaron Grossman and the Minneapolis Early Vote Center at 9th and Hennepin will be open this Saturday and next Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Again, the primary is August 9th. Right now, mostly sunny, breezy, 81 at News Talk 830 WCCO. And that's it for Minnesota's Drive Time News tonight. The news is changing very fast lately, as you know. Keep it right here on WCCO Radio for the very latest. If you missed this newscast or any part of the day's broadcast, just hit that rewind button on your Odyssey app. Have a great night.